Well, the next guest will have a few months to celebrate and relish his first ever Champions Cup, the Edmonton Rush, victorious 11-10 Friday night at Rexall Place in front of the biggest crowd of the season and arguably the loudest crowd I think I've ever heard at a Rush game. Captain Chris Corbeil joins us. Chris, congratulations. Still celebrating?
Thank you very much, Gregor. Appreciate it. No, the celebrations have died down. It's back to reality, back to work at the office on Monday. So I'm starting to come off of the high of winning the championship there.
Did you get any sleep on the weekend?
A little bit, but yeah, not very much at all. The boys made sure of that. So yeah, sleep was not being gotten for the most part over the weekend. So it's been a rough Monday for me.
Although you take it, I'm sure. Chris, looking at you know, I know at the start of the year you mentioned how disappointing last year was, just for the team, but also kind of how you guys wanted to win one for Wendy Keenan. There seemed to be a real release of emotions for you and Keenan and the entire team after that victory.
Yeah, it was an incredibly emotional win. Winning the NLL championship is I think, a pretty emotional experience, but tack on the fact that, Coach Keenan had lost his wife earlier this season, and, we came so close to winning it last year, in front of her as she was sort of going through the final battle with cancer and coming up short and how tough that was to swallow. To be able to do it this year for him, just months after she's passed away and, you know, having lost him a little bit at the start of the year, it was incredibly emotional, and it was something special and something I'll remember for a long time. And I was very lucky that I was able to be the guy to pass the trophy over to Derek. And very special moment in my life for sure.
When did you make that decision?
It's funny. It's not a decision that you want to make until you actually win it. But mm-hmm. I had actually discussed it with my roommate Kyle Rubish, and I said, I'm not getting ahead of myself, but if we did, do you think I should give it to Derek? And he said, oh yeah, absolutely. And then we had won it, and we were in the celebrating, and Jared Davis came up to me. He said, you're giving it to Keenan, right? And I said, yeah, absolutely, I'll be giving it to Keenan. So we, those are two of our assistant captains, and I sort of told some of the older guys as well. Aaron Bold's played in the league, I think, the longest out of all our current team members. And I said, no disrespect to you or anything, Aaron, but this one's it's going to go to Derek first. And he had absolutely no problem with it, so it was good.
Well, and, he's a guy, and I spoke to him and Michelle after the game, who are obviously going through some of their own. Yeah. And, for him, he just said how he felt that having to go through all this has actually made him a better player. Because he seemed like on a different level in the postseason.
He was on a different level this season. And the thing I found with Boldy this year was just his mental toughness was on point. And, his ability to stop teams from gaining too much momentum by scoring in sets. And that's sort of a little bit of what our problem was in previous years was our... I think our lack of experience or our lack of mental toughness, during certain stretches of difficult games would sort of haunt us, and we would have trouble stopping teams going on these, multiple goal runs. But Aaron, just when we needed clutch saves from him, he was clutch this year. And at the same time, I think the experiences from last year and this year as well really helped a lot of the guys. And we just seem like a mentally tougher group this year, and we seem more composed during those tense moments in games and close games. And I think Friday night really speaks to that, obviously, it being a close game back and forth all game long, but we wound up on top at the end.
Chris Corbeil, captain of the Rush, joins us, winning the Champions Cup. First team in the 2 years since they implemented series to sweep a team two straight. So you did it in convincing fashion for sure, Chris. And it's rare to have a team that has nobody with, championship experience at the pro level on their team before. Usually, a team will acquire, a savvy yeah. veteran or something yeah. like that. And I wonder, you talk about that experience factor, and what did you learn from last year as a team that you felt like, you mentioned Bold and, the mental toughness. Did you, as a defense, did you feel you guys learned something that you were able to be better at this year than you were last year?
It's hard to really pinpoint it, but really it was, I think, just reflecting on the fact that, you know, we really have to bring it for 60 minutes and we can't get by on playing for 55 minutes or 50 minutes or just a part of the game or something like that, because that was had sort of been our MO in previous years. And we really knew how capable we were as a group when we were playing at our top level, and we knew our ability to really shut down other teams' offenses. But it was that consistency, I think, that was really important, and consistency and confidence more than anything. Knowing and having faith in not just yourself but your teammates and Aaron behind you, and being able to play, you know, at that level for games in their entirety and really not taking our foot off the gas at any point. So not saying we were perfect in that last game, but you know, I guess we were just good enough, so it worked out.
Well, you know what, in a game like that, that's back, you have two great teams, and I think it kind of showed the separation wasn't very much between Toronto. And, you know, that was a game where you would be on a high, then they would be on a high, then you would be on a high. How do you deal with, is it a roller coaster of emotions for a player as much as it is for the fans in the stands?
So what I've found actually is it's worse being a fan, and I had to, I missed one game this year because I was sort of nursing a foot injury, and it was against Toronto at home. That was a wild game. We ended up losing in overtime 16-15, but my nerves for that game were much, much worse than they were even for, you know, a championship game on Friday night that was, you know, equally as back and forth and as close and obviously a lot more at stake. But I think when you're in the game, obviously you don't have to focus you're obviously focused a lot more on what's going on the floor, and you're able to control it. So I don't think your nerves get the best of you as they did when I was sitting up in the press box for that game in February. That was a tough one to watch.
When were you able to exhale? When Mitski intercepted the ball?
No. God, no. Have you seen Mitski carry the ball? That was not an exhale. that was almost worse. It was another, couldn't have gone to somebody else, someone with a shorter stick maybe. You know what? It was an exhale. I don't think I exhaled until the final the final buzzer there. I think maybe with 3 or 4 seconds left, he kind of rolled in the corner, and I knew there just wouldn't be enough time to get the ball all the way back down the floor for an opportunity. But it didn't seem like Toronto was going away, and in the final seconds there, they had some crazy chances right on our doorstep. There was a bit of a defensive breakdown there, but it all sort of hit me at once as soon as the buzzer went, and it was pretty cool to turn back and embrace Aaron right there and start celebrating with all the rest of the teammates.
I noticed very emotional for you right on the field, Chris. And I know players at every level, when you're a kid, everybody dreams of a championship, right? And then you finally have it. And you've had some days now, because I know right in the moment it's virtually impossible to describe it. But now that you've had, you know, some time, can you put it into words, you know, why it was just such a release of emotion for you at that point and what was going through your mind?
Well, I spoke a little bit earlier in the segment when I was talking about, you know, coming up short last year, trying to win it for Wendy. That was a big part of it, you know, knowing that we were able to do it for Derek. And then, you know, you talked as well about Aaron's girlfriend, Michelle, and anyone close to the team is familiar with the struggles that they've had to go through. So there's that stuff off the floor that seems to give it a little bit more significance. But on top of that, you know, I've in my lacrosse career, I've been on the doorstep a number of times, but this is only the second real major championship I've won, and the first one seemed to be a little too easy, so it wasn't quite as rewarding. But this one was particularly rewarding, just, you know, getting by Calgary in the semifinals and the nail biter that came down to, and winning in the overtime mini game, and just how close it was beating Toronto. Just I think because it was so difficult, and because, you know, it was never you know, we never really had it locked down or anything like that. It was always in doubt. It made it that much more rewarding in the end.
Chris Corbeil joins us. Chris, from the business side of it, I'm sure you're aware of what's happening. There's no lease with the Rush right now in Edmonton, and the future's a little bit uncertain. As a captain, you guys talked about that. Where do you stand on that?
Well, you know what? There wasn't a lot of time to talk about it. Guys weren't talking about it too much after the win. Beforehand, there was a little bit of discussion. And I mean, the guys, obviously, we have a great team. And aside from that, you know, what makes this group so special is I think we're loaded with talent. But aside from just the great lacrosse players we have, we got a really good group of people in the dressing room, and it's a lot of fun to come out to Edmonton on weekends and get together with this group of guys, because they really are good people, and we're a tight knit bunch, and there's no real cliques or fractions within the group. We're all brothers, and we're a family, and we all want to stay together, and we all want to stay in Edmonton. And it would be a terrible time to leave, and you know, coming off the heels of a championship. So I know myself and the guys that I'm closest to on the team all agree that it would be great if something could get sorted out and we could stay in Edmonton and continue playing in front of the Edmonton fans. And you know, I thought about this over the weekend. Was it would be terrible to, you know, if our team was relocated to raise the banner in another building or something like that. You know, the fans were, you mentioned it. It was the best turnout for fans that I've ever seen at Rexall since I started playing for the Rush. And it would be a shame if we didn't get to reward them next season opener with the raising of the banner.
You mentioned you're loaded with talent, and you are. Curtis Knight didn't even play in your team this year. He led your team in goals last year. Now that you've had a taste of one, I'm guessing the thought of a repeat has already went through your mind.
Yeah, no, it has. And you said it. It's hard to determine how the off season's going to play out, but I can't imagine the coaching staff are going to want to make too many changes. And we'll be getting Curtis Knight back, who was our most valuable player as voted by our staff last season. So that kid's an incredible talent. Add him to the mix, and we already know he's a great fit in, you know, offensive chemistry wise, and with the culture and the group of guys we have. So there's no concern there. We should only get better next season. So I'm excited, you know, and yeah, the thought's gone through. Rochester had won the previous three championships, so now I think that's the that's the new bar that's set. So a couple more is the new challenge for us, I guess, the next two.
Quickly discuss the maturity and evolution of Mark Matthews' game.
Oh God, yeah, but you know what? He's been a fantastic lacrosse player and a very talented player, but I think the word there is maturity, and he really has matured, you know, tenfold over the past season. And he's was a player that in the past, you know, would maybe sometimes, if he wasn't getting the calls, or he was getting, you know, the tougher matchups against the other team's defenders, or, you know, felt like he was getting cheap-shotted or whatever it may be, he would, you know, maybe feel a little sorry for himself and start to pout, or, you know, get into that kind of thing. And this season it was just all put on the back burners, and he was just oblivious to all that kind of stuff, and just completely ignored it, and really focused on controlling what he could control out there. And boy, did it pay off for him. Kid set set a disgusting number of goals and assists this year, and you know, was obviously the leader of our offense. And you know, any type of offense we created virtually either started or ended with Mark. Or so he was a huge part of that. And like I said, his ability to just, you know, focus and not get too flustered with the external stuff that he can't control was key to his success this year. And it's been great, and I've been very privileged to be on his team as I've got to watch him grow as a lacrosse player.
You've got, if not the best offensive player, definitely one of the best offensive players in the game. And Rubish, of course, is a three-time defensive player of the year, and I'm assuming will be up as a finalist for that award again. I noticed, though, I see a lot of traits that the other guys on defense have now picked up. I think you guys had six of the top eight when it came to cause turnovers, which, yeah, you know, he used to lead. Guys, you know, he had four or five interceptions. Lynch did it on the shorthanded goal. Mitski did it to win the game. How much better has Rubish made all of you guys just by practicing with him?
Oh, he's incredible. And, yeah, I've been the biggest beneficiary of that. Been playing junior with him since we were about 16 years old. So I've been fortunate in that regard. But yeah, the kid's a stud. He's fantastic. He will win Defender of the Year again this year for the fourth time. They'll probably name the award after him by the time he's done. But yeah, you, like you said, it's rubbing off on these guys. And Ryan Dilks, John Lentz, Brett Mitski, Jeff Cornwall, Johnny LaFontaine, the list goes on. They've all gotten so much better, and yeah, it's amazing playing with a talent like Kyle, because he's just so incredibly reliable. And to, you know, I get to see right on the floor firsthand the frustration that other teams have with him, and it's actually comical at times. And it was on Friday night. There was one pass that I was covering Hellyer at the time, and he sent it across. I don't know who he was looking for. I was, you know, guarding him, and he got the pass off. And sure enough, I turned back, and it's right in Rubish's stick. And he had some choice words for Kyle as he was running to the bench. But it's you know, it's got to be frustrating for these guys to go against the to go against him. So I feel bad for the other team's lefties.
Who has the trophy right now?
I got an email this morning asking where it was. So we're trying to sort that out. We think it's at the Hilton Garden out by the airport in Leduc. So we're trying to track it down.
You know what's funny? Because I was joking with a few of the players how, you know, that you have with Aaron Bold, how the Golden Bears hockey team, they forgot it in an establishment a few years ago. And, you know, magically it showed up the next day. And I was like, well, as long as you guys don't lose the trophy, that's the big thing. Because one guy thinks the other guy has it, and the other guy thinks the other guy has it.
Exactly. So Saturday night, we were treated to, the guys that stuck around in town anyways went out to the Imagine Dragons concert, and we tried to bring it in there, and that got kiboshed. But it ended up coming out to the bar afterwards, an establishment, and we were partying there, and it made it back to the hotel that night, and that was the last I had seen it, because I had to board a flight the next morning to head back to Toronto. And then the messages started going around, like, who exactly has it? So I can't say that it's lost, but it's out in Edmonton somewhere. I'm in Toronto. I'm in a totally different province, so I can't be accountable for it.
Oh, well, I'm sure somebody will track it down. Hopefully it's in one piece. Well, Chris, congratulations on your first Champions Cup. Relish it, and best of luck going for number two.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, Gregor. Appreciate the support.
Chris Corbeil, captain of the Rush.